Tonight, in our study, we're going to move kind of quickly because there's a lot of things to be said that I would like to share with you. And by means of that, I would like to remind you that any time there is something said in a lesson that you would like to have a copy of or need to refresh your mind of, feel free to make that request of us. I'm sure Jeff would do the same. Make notes, make our presentations available to you in whatever format would fit your need. And so, as we were on our way here tonight in the Traverse, getting near, Tristan asked me not to go fast. She also asked me to take the additional time needed to cover things slowly. If I do that, we'll be here for a while. And she said that I could not tell you that. So I'm not going to tell you that she gave me the license to go long tonight. James, as soon as I walked in, asked if it's going to be short. And so with two opposing views, I'm going to try to hit it somewhere in the middle. And hopefully it will be beneficial to everyone. With all of the practical skills associated with understanding and living a successful life, otherwise known as wisdom, that is in this room, I wish there was time for us to go around and each person answer the question, what are the greatest things of life? Some ideas that would likely come to mind are health, financial soundness, children or grandchildren, parents or grandparents, a spouse, maybe naps, coffee, foods, technology, makeup, deep conversations, traveling the world, forgiveness, or the opportunity for personal growth. If we were to ask that question of Paul, I imagine that he would point our minds to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 13. As it's rendered in the New American Standard Bible 95, it reads, "But now faith, hope, love, abide these three, but the greatest of these is love." Love is important. Love is impeccable or faultless. Love is indestructible or eternal. Love is invincible or supreme. Love is the greatest and most powerful principle of life because love sacrifices on behalf of the beloved object, as we see in John 3:16. Love gives its best. So God, being the very essence of love, gave His Son as a sacrifice, an indescribable gift, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Love makes heavy burdens seem light. Genesis chapter 29 and verse number 20, we're told that Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days, the Bible says, because of his love for her. What sacrifices have you made on behalf of the God you love? Are you giving your best to him? Does your service to him seem light because of your love for him? Love is the most important quality of all because it is the essence of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, "The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." If you go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 15, you find that Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So Christ is love. Christians are to be like Christ. Thus, Christians are to be characterized by love, which Christ is characterized by and God is characterized by. Therefore, Christian is love. But now faith, hope, love, abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. What is among the greatest things of life? Yellow, depending on whether you're country boy or not, inspires thought and curiosity. It also boosts enthusiasm and confidence. I invite you to study along with me. The intent tonight is to boost enthusiasm, to create some confidence, or to remind us of some confidence in the greatest things of life. Truly, the truly and real greatest things of life. The greatest object of life is to purposely glorify God. As Paul instructed the brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 30 to 32, he said that whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Christians should do what they do for the good of all people, and do it for the glory of God. In this life by choice, and in death by judgment, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, verses 11 and 12. Christians are to glorify God in their body. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 16 through 20. The church is to glorify God forever and ever. Ephesians 3 and verse 21. When we purposely glorify God, we will lead others to glorify our Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 16. The greatest objective that we could have in life is to purposely glorify God. The greatest privilege of life is to be children of God. John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, he began there in verse 1, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, when He comes again, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure." We become children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3 and verse 26. The next verse, Galatians 3 and verse 27, says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Becoming a child of God is an intentional act. It's a conscious decision that one makes. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 says, "By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious." How are they obvious? Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. We must intentionally choose righteousness. We must intentionally choose to pursue righteousness. We must intentionally love our brother. Sets us apart from the world, from the children of the devil. We know we are children of God when we choose to purify ourselves through faith in Christ, submitting to being baptized and clothed with Christ, and then practice righteousness. Then the Spirit Himself testifies. Romans 8, verses 16 and 17, with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. We are children of God. We share the greatest privilege of life if we are a child of God. The greatest knowledge of life is knowing God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came to give eternal life, which He explained in John chapter 17 and verse 3 as knowing the one true God and Jesus Christ whom God sent. How do we know if we have come to know God? How can we be sure that Jesus is indeed our Savior? 1 John chapter 2 answers, we know that through obedience, love, and holiness. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. We must obey God. By this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We know that we have Jesus as our Savior, and that we know God when we love God and love God's people. 1 John 2, verses 7 through 11. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. We're able to walk in the light as He, Jesus, is in the light. Then we know we belong to Him. He is our Savior. And we know God. But we must also live holy lives for God. 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Now little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of Him. When we know God and His Son, Jesus Christ, we will obey, love, and live according to the greatest knowledge of life. To know God and His Son, Jesus Christ. The greatest vocation of life is to work for God and serve Him. A vocation is one's main calling in life, while an avocation is a subordinate occupation pursued in addition to one's vocation. If our vocation is to work for God and serve Him, then our avocation will be a vehicle through which we glorify God. You see, Christianity, living the Christian life, is our vocation. So our jobs are our avocations. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, implore Christians to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which we have been called. If that is our vocation, then no matter what our job may be, what job we have, we will still use it to love God with all our heart, all our soul, and with all our mind. Matthew 22, verse 37. We'll use it to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. Matthew 6 and verse 33. So if we have our vocation and our avocation in the right order, then we will always find ourselves working for God and serving Him through the jobs we have. the greatest work of life is the work of winning souls. Interesting passage in Proverbs 11 and verse 30. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. Wisdom was called the tree of life in Proverbs 3 and verse 18. But here in chapter 11 and verse 30, he's essentially saying that the work of winning souls shows wisdom and righteousness, because the winning of souls brings renewal. This renewal is experienced even today when a wife wins her husband to the Lord by a chaste and respectful behavior directed by a gentle and quiet spirit. 1 Peter 3 verses 1 through 4. The work of winning souls brings a renewal to the church as the church invites the lost to come to her. Revelation 22 verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. You see, a congregation of the Lord's church continues on well into the future only through the work of winning souls. But it's through the winning of souls that there is a renewal. A renewal of spirit and mind, a renewal of efforts, a renewal of work. So the greatest work of life is the work of winning souls. The greatest joy of life is the joy of salvation. The Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing, Acts 8 verse 39. The Philippian jailer brought Paul and Silas into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Acts 16, verse 34. We are told this right after we are told in verse 33 that he was baptized. There's great joy in salvation. There's great joy in our own salvation, but there's great joy in seeing someone else come to salvation. There's great joy, as we studied this morning, in growing in one's salvation. Christians everywhere love Jesus, though they have not seen Him, and they believe in Him. Thus they greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, Peter wrote, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. But we know that with the greatness of joy in our salvation, there are times that we slip up. There are times when we sin. And usually when we sin, it gets ugly pretty quickly. We find David in a similar situation when we come to his words in Psalm 51. He asked God to remove his sin from him, to restore his joy, and to renew his spirit. Then in Psalm 51, verses 11 and 12, David pleaded with God, "Do not cast away me from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit." There is great joy in coming to salvation. There's great joy in returning to one's salvation. The greatest victory of life is overcoming self and the world. 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. John declares, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" We should take great joy in the fact that we, many of us, Tonight, all Christians have overcome the world. The church in Sardis, to them it was written that he who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments. Jesus said, I will not erase his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3 and verse 5. Your name will not be erased from the book of life. Your name will be one who is confessed before the Father and before the angels because you have overcome the world. You have the greatest victory of life. The greatest fellowship of life is with Christ and Christians. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1, verse 7. Continual cleansing takes place in the fellowship with Christ. Fellowship with Christians keeps us devoted to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So if we say that we have fellowship with God and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. 1 John 1 verse 6. Yet the greatest fellowship of life is with Christians who have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1 verse 3. The greatest fellowship we can have is with Christ. The greatest fellowship that we can experience and have some sense of feeling what it's like to have fellowship with Christ is a fellowship with Christians. The greatest gift of life is to give oneself to God and God's people. God gave His best when He sent His Son and offered salvation to us through His Son. What will we sacrifice to God? Paul said that the brethren at Macedonia first gave themselves to the Lord, then to us by the will of God. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5. Will we surrender our will to the Savior? Will we sacrificially share our wealth with the saints? The greatest gift of life that we could give to others be to give ourselves to God and then give of our means to His people. The greatest loss of life is to lose one's soul. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 26, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" If you continue reading in that context, we find that we must decide what we are going to do with our life. We are in control of it. We can render it to God or we can keep it for ourselves. Verse 25 says, if you want to save your life, you will lose it. But if you will lose your life for Christ's sake, you will find it. Then he tells, verse 27, for the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of His Father with His angels and will then repay to every man according to his deeds. Did you render deeds to yourself and to no one else? Did you try to save your own life and yet lose it? So Jesus said back in verse 24 of Matthew 16, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The greatest loss of life is to lose one's life. You can lose a little earthly living, worldly living in this life, and gain the wonders and the glories of heaven. Or you can live in this life, sacrificing, giving to God out of great love, and receive that wonderful home in heaven. It's truly up to us how we will or what we will decide to do with our life. The greatest neglect of life is to neglect so great a salvation. The writer of Hebrews penned, "How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard it, God also testifying with them by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will." Hebrews 2 verses 3 and 4. In other words, how are we going to escape if we neglect salvation that has been spoken of and proven by many instances of example and proofs? Jesus said in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Preach the things that the Hebrew writer spoke of in Hebrews chapter 2. Proclaim that to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved will be condemned. The one who neglects so great a salvation will find that the greatest neglect of life is that neglect of salvation offered by God through His Son. The greatest prize of life is eternal life, eternal glory, the crown of life. Four passages from different writings of Paul are shared here and as a cohesive call to strive for the greatest prize. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Followed by Galatians 6, verses 7 and 9. Here's what Paul had to say. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who practices or competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who have loved His appearing." Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. What's among the greatest things of life that are worthy of serious consideration? Surely it is the greatest life here upon this earth and the opportunity for eternal life. So have you considered the things we've shared tonight? Have you considered them to be the greatest things of life? Love is the greatest and most powerful principle of life. Love sacrifices on behalf of the beloved object. Love gives its best. Love makes heavy burdens seem light. Do you love God this way? Do you love Him in such a fashion that you sacrifice for Him and you give your very best to Him and you receive from Him lighter burdens? God is offering His love to you. Will you receive His love? But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. God has extended and shown His love to you. Will you extend and show your love to Him tonight as we stand and as we sing?